out of that. But hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, maybe you came and you don't have one, grab one from the seat rack in front of you and you can be turning to page 866. And it'll be a second before I get there. It's often said that hindsight's 20/20, and there's a lot of truth in that statement. And we know that God's vision is perfect both in retrospect and as he goes forward, because he's eternal and he knows what's going to happen. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everything. He's truly awesome. And so we're not. That's what it boils down to. We need him. We need him today. We need him every day. Sometimes I think we think we don't need him. And when that happens, you know, it's not a good thing. We need him. We need him more than the air that we breathe. He's the one that creates the air so that we can breathe, right? God is life and he is light. And so this morning we're going to be speaking about faith, faith to faith. And I'll give you a little bit more insight on that as we continue to go. But in the time we have left, I'm going to embark upon a vision update. I love what Doug had to say and what you got to experience, just that little piece of that ministry. I pray that God would open further doors for us to continue to go beyond just little short-term trips. Doug's calling for people that want to give their life, at least 3-month chunks, 6 months, maybe even pray about going over and joining as a missionary. That's what we're all about, equipping the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God. And it takes a certain soberness, a certain diligence to do that. And I pray that this year as we go forward that we will have what it takes. And you know, we do have what it takes because we have God's Word and we have God's Spirit, and you are God's church. And that is all that it takes to literally turn the world upside down. And so in the next few weeks, we'll be starting a series called A Few Faithful Men. And we'll be looking at that historically, how God did that, and look at some of the underpinnings theologically of that, why that's happened, and then how that applies to us today as we're going to finish out this leg of the race of church history. We want to do that. We want to run strong. When you come across the finish line, you want to get across it. You want to get across it. And if we can, I don't want to necessarily roll across it or crawl across it, though if that's what we have to do, we will. But I'd like to run across it, and I'd like y'all to run with me. Y'all in? Yeah, count the cost. Okay, so yeah, I hope that we're all in. I hope we're all in, and that God has his good hand upon our lives. So we're not awesome, but God is awesome in the true sense of the word. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. But we can rejoice this morning, because as we look back and you see some, not all, but many of the things that God has done in and through that cliff, that's a lot of event-oriented things. But you know, in all of that's a lot of story, a lot of life, a lot of sacrifice on y'all's parts and parts of people in Clinton now and Dave Pierce and KCK and the missionaries. A lot of personal sacrifice goes into serving the Lord. Why? Because he sacrificed his life for us. Because he loves us. And he died on the cross for us. And we manifest that in truth. And it's very relevant in our lives. And we go forth with the Word of God. And we take it where it needs to go on time. And time is of the essence. The passage that Doug read from Ezekiel is very much about that. He goes on to speak about, you know, the importance of warning, right? Blowing the trumpet, warning people, lest their blood be upon our hands. We have a mission to accomplish. And I'm looking forward to doing that in 2018. You've heard the old song, Count Your Blessings. Well, maybe you haven't. How many of you have heard the old song, Count Your Blessings? I'd say about 80% of you. So 80% of you heard Count Your Blessings, you know, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And God has done many great things. In Psalm 40 and verse 5, the Bible says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know what that means? Probably not, because I read it real fast. But if you look at the last part of that sentence, he's saying that God's thoughts are so incredibly awesome, and you are so incredibly intricate to what God is thinking about, that if we really took time to count our blessings and we started to accumulate all the necessary data to bring us to this moment in time to really think about how blessed we are, we could not come up with the time or the number. Because all of history to this point has led to this day. It's led to this moment in time. And as Doug very eloquent, we didn't plan this, but as he said, we get a choice. We get to choose to go forward, or we get to choose to go backward. And of course, we're going forward because that's what God would have us to do. And we should be thankful for that. The Bible commands us to give thanks. And many of you know 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But sometimes we like to say, yeah, I gotta be thankful in everything, but I'm not thankful for everything. You know what? That's not biblical, though. I hate to blow that on you today. Burst the bubble there. But Ephesians 5:20 says that we're giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, not all circumstances are thankworthy, but we can be thankful that in all circumstances we can be thankful. And so we can be thankful because God is the solution to every problem. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There are some benefits to looking back because it causes us to be grateful for the goodness of God in our lives. If you look hard enough, it doesn't take long to find that God has been very good. And in 2017, God has been good to our church in numerous ways. I mean, he's been very good to this church this last year. If you just look at the list of events, you know, you can start with volleyball last season. And you know, this year we have more teams than last. We had about four teams last year. Now we got six teams. God's been good. More participation. It's been awesome. We've had a great women's conference last year with Mindy Clark. And this year, Kara Godfrey's coming in just the 27th of January, right? And so is it early bird sign-ups over? The 10th? So you can be thankful this morning if you're a lady. You can get early bird sign-ups. I don't know what that means, how much money that is off, but it's some. So Mark Trotter last year came and preached the conference from Atlanta. He came in and over 100 couples attended the conference from over five churches. And this year it's going to be a little bit more intimate, but we're going to continue. Someone just asked me yesterday, are we having the marriage conference? I'm like, yes, yes. That's been important because if we don't build our families, guess what? You don't build the church. The church is full of families. That's not to minimize those that are single. God can use singles in incredible ways, so I'm not minimizing that. But it is important because the devil is attacking both singles and families. He wants to destroy anything that represents a picture of Christ in his church, and he wants to destroy that fruit. So we're going to double up and continue to focus on those families. And then, of course, as James Horton took the lead of the praise band, it's been a year ago that he took the helm. And we still need, as you can see this morning, we still need people to step up. Maybe this year God's calling some folks to take some time out of your life and say, you know what, I'll go ahead and give my Thursday nights and start practicing so that I can be part of the praise team. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you play a banjo. whatever. And we'll take, hey, man, maybe you look like, who's that dude? Crowder, you know, with the beard. I don't know. So we could use your help. But God knows he'll provide all of those things. And you guys sounded great this morning. And you guys are the instruments of praise. You're the instruments that God wants to use in ministry as well. And it's an incredible thing that he has done. And of course, what a great job Sam Strickland did last year at the conference. And at that conference, you know, God called Brad McGuire to go ahead and take the helm of the Bible study that's now become New Life Church Plant in Clinton, Missouri. And so praise the Lord for that. They had their first baptism service last week, and it was tremendous. I think they had four baptized. Church in the Park was outstanding with Bob Weston. He's now caused us to up our quotient on Bibles. We got to make more Bibles because Bob gets them out quicker than we can get them there. And then Lauren, of course, Lauren Stovall spent 3 months in Arista, and she heads out, what, Tuesday? She's leaving Tuesday to head out for another 6 months. So be praying for her and what God is doing in her life in regard to missions and her studies and HBI and all of the things associated with that. And then God blessed us with the opportunity, of course, to be part of the conferences in Georgia and in the fall in New Philly with the Living Faith Fellowship. That was a great time. The Armory, whew, finally got done. And right on time, right, to get that new cutter. $100,000 cutter, I think it was. Is Randy in the house somewhere? I don't know where he's at. Oh, he's back in the booth. Was it $100,000? Value, right. And we got for like 10 or 15. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. That's the one Ron was working, you know. And that's amazing what God did to get the Bibles published and get them where they need to go. There are numerous, of course, missionaries, as you saw in the video, and I didn't catch them all. And so praise the Lord for that. And we had a transition. It was Jason and Paige led Fun in the Sun over the summer, and they stepped into the Pass Point. Brent and Ruby Dye are in TNT, and we've had consistency there over the last year. And And so praise the Lord for that. Bible conference was a great time. And so we had a good participation from all the local churches, and sister churches that we're affiliated with. Everybody from everywhere came for the Bible conference and accomplished a good bit as we assembled the Word of God. And we have a lot to look forward to this year. Word is from Bearing Precious Seed that when we assemble the 20,000 in our project in the fall, when we assemble 20,000 Japanese New Testaments, they will be the first Japanese New Testaments translated from the Textus Receptus. So we're excited about that opportunity to get the Word of God where it needs to go. And so we praise the Lord for that. There's just a lot of awesome things that God is doing. There's numerous salvations. We had 17 baptisms last year, 23 new members. And we, of course, saw the church plant at Clinton, had a good time at the Burton District Festival, and a good trip up to Maple City Baptist Church with Jared West at the lead. We saw a lot of things go on with outreach ministry, and then, of course, wrapped up with the Certainty Conference. And then last week, Paul Clark came, and he busted it on us. And so one of the things I didn't mention was it was Bob Hall has also taken the church, and God has expanded the ministry in a different way by sending Bob Hall Cleveland, Missouri. And so Bob is now the pastor at First Baptist of Cleveland, Missouri. So God just continues to expand the ministry. And it's important for y'all to know that. That's partially why we're in one room again. But the reality is it's not to go backwards, it's to go forward. And so making room for more disciples means we got to make more disciples. And that's what Heartland has always been about. That's what we're going to continue to be about. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 that where there is no vision, the people perish. And he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There is no vision apart from God's word. God's vision for our life is found in his word. It is his word. And biblical vision is directly tied to the word of God. So we have a perfect vision in this book. But you know what? It's easy to take your vision for granted. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, I've read that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Maybe in 2018 what we need to do is double up our efforts to really listen. Doug talked about sitting, right, with those that were in captivity. Maybe you're in captivity. And what we need to do is just sit and listen to God's word. Let him minister to us and really take the time in God's word to turn off the technology, get away from the devices. I know I actually do some study on the device in the morning, but it is distracting. When summer starts, I'm doing away with that in my devotional life. And I'm going back to the paper just so I'm distraction-free. And so, I tell you what, guys, we need time in God's Word. We need time in God's Word to hear His voice. And so the Bible that you have and I have in my hand was delivered to us at a great cost. And it's perfect. It's pure. It's given us everything that we need. And the adversary wants to take his word and twist it, manipulate it, cause doubt. And you guys, I'm telling you, God has given us the surety of his word. Now, you don't have to believe that. What I would challenge anyone to do is study it for yourself. And here at Heartland, that's what we do, is we equip the saints of God and the word of God to accomplish the mission of God in the power of God. But you know, when you have perfect vision, you tend to take it for granted. It's kind of like, well, yeah, everyone knows that. Well, no, not everybody does know it. For 46 years, I had 20/20 vision. And then all of a sudden, I'm like squinting and stuff. And I'm like reading and I'm like, and I start getting worried. I'm thinking, I have a tumor. I have diabetes. What is wrong with me? So after HBI one morning, I run up to the optometrist and he says, hey, do this, do that. And I go through all the testing. And he's like, he comes back and he says, how old are you? I said, oh, I'm 40. At this time, I was 46. He says, oh, he goes, well, that's your problem. Well, what's your problem? No. No, when you're 40, you've gone 6 years past your due. It happens when you hit your 40s. Your eyes, that you can't move, they can't focus and all this. He tells me all the, he goes, you just need some reading glasses, you know. So I go out and get some reading glasses. And, of course, you guys have seen me sporting those. But, you know, I take it for granted. Now I'm to the point where I'm frustrated, right? Because, you know, it used to be I could squint enough if I had to. But you give me a pill bottle or you give me some of the things, now I literally can't read anymore, no matter how far away I put it, no matter how I squint. You know, I've actually got to put on the glasses if I'm going to see what it is I'm supposed to be reading. Because the truth is, I no longer have perfect vision. You know, I miss that. And I tell you what, beloved, we have God's Word. And sometimes we take it for granted. We just take for granted what God's given us. Now I'm at a place, no matter how much I squint, I got to have my glasses. Maybe God needs to adjust our vision this year, right? And help us focus more clearly. And I tell you what, if we're having a problem seeing God's will, it's not because God's will has changed or he's changed the font size on what his word means. It's because we need to focus. We need to focus our eyes on what he has to say. You know, Heartland is 16 years old today. Bruce and Carol are here. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming once again. They've been here every first Sunday since we started. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And they've been here every, that's encouraging. I actually have friends, I think. Or they're coming to see everybody else. They come to see Amy. Yeah. And so that's encouraging. But we just started meeting, of course, having volleyball at the Harrisonville Christian School, at the Bull Activity Center. It's kind of been nostalgic to go back and look and remember all the things that went on there. And, you know, when this church started, we had clear vision. And when we finish, when this church finishes at the catching away of the church, no matter what happens, that's my prayer. You say, well, Brian, what's the vision? The vision is that we don't lose our vision. The vision is that we maintain the Word of God, that we run the race and we finish our course, and we do what the Bible tells us to do until Jesus returns. That's our vision, because it's His vision, not ours. Our mission is the same, right? We're here, we equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God, which is defined in the Word of God. His mission is already written down for us, so we don't have to come up with a cute saying. We're here. Our job as a church, Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints, those that are saved, in the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God, which is to make disciples. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. That's our job. We're to do that until Jesus returns. We can't do that in our own power, though. We got to do that in the power of God. And when we allow God's power to do that, when we allow Him to work through His Word and His Spirit, this is what happens. It brings glory to God. And what you saw in that video and what you're hearing and you see reflected in the life of Doug and Bethany, what you saw last week with Paul Clark, was really a commitment by a collective group of people, but it all boils down to individuals who, you guys wake up in the morning, I wake up in the morning, we make a decision. And we say, I'm going to serve the Lord today or I'm not. I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm not. I'm going to live the vision or I'm going to kick it down the road. I'm going to fake it till I make it. And you ain't ever going to make it if you're faking it. And so we have to be really authentic, and we really got to avail ourselves of the power of God. Otherwise, we're just a sham, right? And that would put us in the category of Laodicea, because Laodicea is all about themselves. And so what ministry does, what God's vision does, is it calls you out of your comfort zone. And I got news for you. I don't want to be uncomfortable, but I've already told the Lord. I've already met with my wife, and I said, in 2018, prepare to be uncomfortable. Now, we've already had some discomfort. I ain't talking about discomfort because the finances are tighter or this or that. I'm talking about being seriously willing to sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of the ministry. For the benefit, not of the ministry like Heartland Baptist Fellowship. I mean, what is it that Jesus is calling you to be? And then do what he tells you to do to get that done. Now, that's always the call. It's always the way it is from the moment you get saved and you trust Christ. But I think all of us, including your pastor, can grow in that consecration. I still have room to grow, not outward, hopefully, but upward, right? And so I'm really committed to that this year. So I'm kind of putting you on notice. We're not just going to keep going through the motions. As a matter of fact, I confided in Randy last week. I said, I think I've kind of been going through the motions. I kind of got punched in the mouth a few times and a few things here and there in the last few years. And I was just like, you know, the vision. What happened to the grand vision? And God's spoken to me about it. It's on like Donkey Kong. That's why you get a few punches in the mouth. So praise the Lord. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm as consecrated today as I've ever been to see God be glorified, because that's the end of the statement. To accomplish accomplish God's mission for His glory, not ours. It's all about what God wants. So what does God want? What's He want in my life? What's He want in your life? Well, He wants our obedience for sure. That's how we got saved, right? Obeying the gospel. calling upon the name of the Lord, laying aside all of the other things that we trust in, including ourselves and our own righteousness, and then receiving by faith His righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. The thing that the Jews struggled with, the thing that we must have, and that is Christ and Christ alone and His finished work. So we put our faith, and that's all we have is faith in what He has done. And we believe with our whole heart that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, has been buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And He has fulfilled the whole of the Scripture. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And so now what we do is we are fulfilled in Him. And so we must. This is relational by God's own design. It is not about keeping a bunch of Ten Commandments, though that's a good thing to do, but it's about a relationship with the living God that is so personal that all of time has brought us to this point in history, and He calls upon us to look at ourselves in the mirror that is of His Word and say, where are you at today? And where will you go tomorrow? And get out of complacency. Get out of anything that is keeping you from God's will, because our goals haven't changed. We still edify. We still build. We still exercise, do the work of ministry, and we engage in the mission of God by faith. But we've come to understand that all of us have a responsibility, right? It's not enough just to know intellectually what it is that we're here to do. We have to do something. And some of us this year need to take upon us the responsibility and the opportunity of learning God's Word. It's not enough for me to know information and regurgitate it and spit it out. Or for Jeff or one of the other pastors or Randy, I go through the list, right? Or for your discipler, which that's what we are to do, is to process the Word down and break it down and give it to you in bite-sized pieces. But there has to be a willingness on our part to go beyond a Google search, right? And actually think upon the Word of God. What is God saying to me? And where is this going in my life? And what is that going to cause me to do? Because it is about change. Faith without works is dead. And God has brought you and quickened you to life if you're saved this morning. So you're not a dead man anymore. You're alive. You're quickened in Christ. And so He wants to see some movement. He wants to see some growth. He wants to see some deepening and some soil that gets a little richer and some roots that grow a little deeper and some consecration that gets a little stronger. Because the effort that needs to be done to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God is every bit as open, as Doug just mentioned, today as it was any other time in history. And He's just looking for a few good people, a few little churches. He doesn't have to use a mega church, and He doesn't have to use a micro church. He could use this church if we let Him. And so I'll talk to you a little bit more about that next week, because I can't get it all in today. But last week, Paul Clark came, and God used him to really challenge us in some areas as a church. Because we say that we're a missions church, and we are. And I think we had a pretty good report card. If you remember some of the things that he actually brought to us, he said that, a church that's committed to being a discipleship missionary church, we will call and send continually, based out of Acts chapter 13, 1 through 8. We're going to call and send continually. Well, guys, that's what we're going to do. He also mentioned that we do those four things. Preach the gospel, teach, confirm souls of disciples, and ordain elders in every city. Hey, we're going to go forward and continue to do that. He says that we should have an abundance of leadership. Hey, how many of you think Heartland has an abundance of leadership? We got an abundance of leadership. We have some good leadership here. I'm amazed. I thank the Lord for the leadership that He's provided this church. It's amazing. We should send our best. That was a little convicting. I was like, yeah, we should. We should send our best. That's what they did. Paul and Barnabas, they weren't the last. They were the best. And the last thing he said is we don't weaken the base to do missions. You don't weaken the base to do missions. And so it would appear that God has and is doing all those things in His grace in our church. That last point, though, at times, it's like, whoo, I don't know. Sometimes you feel weak when James is up here and he ain't got a backup and he's never led solo. I mean, you feel a little weak. You're like, ooh, what happened here? Is this God's plan? Is this God's will? I can tell you, yeah, God's allowed it. It's no big deal. You're the choir. Just sing. God's allowed it. It's no problem. But there's also openings, there's things, and there's disciples that need to be made. People who need to be one to Christ. People that need to be discipled. People that need to be trained up. And it's an incredible opportunity. Because when we're weak, we're strong. That's what the Bible says. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13:8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, for we are glad when we are weak and you're strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. When you have children, you do things for your children and you sacrifice because that's what good parents do. And so I am, as Paul said, willing to spend and be spent, right? Why? For the gospel's sake. But you cannot outspend God. God is so gracious that when you try to give, man, he's going to outgive you. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, that's what the Bible says. And I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul didn't always get an initial return on investment. So why did he invest himself so much? What do you think he invested when he wasn't getting reciprocated? You see, that's the standard of the world, isn't it? Let's invest in something where we can get something back, an immediate ROI, return on investment. But that's not the call of Christianity. It's not self-gratification. It's God gratification. You see, you can't invest in ministry apart from faith. You really have to believe that what you're doing has eternal implications. That you're not just going through the motions. You're not just going to church. You're not just coming to have your ears tickled. You're not just coming here to hear a nice sermon. But there's an end game here, and this end game is eternal. And the benefits are going to come, but you're going to have to trust the Lord for that. Now, certainly, you'll see some bennies along the way, because God's gracious like that, and he's kind. But the more mature you get, you know what? The more, like a parent, you're going to be called upon to give till it hurts. And when you do that, not grudgingly or necessity, but with cheerfulness. Why? Knowing, believing with your whole heart that God is a good God. His character is good. And he will not call you to sacrifice and suffer without reciprocating in eternity. But you may not see it on this side of eternity. As glamorous as we try to make missions seem, I guarantee you Doug and Paul Clark and Pradeep Lima and the pastors in prison over in Vietnam and Cambodia even, and all those places, they have some really dark days. And what gets them through, is the verse I told you to turn to, and I'll have to wrap up on this. Romans chapter 1. You know, in Romans chapter 1, Paul's talking about the gospel. He was preaching the gospel at a cost. It cost him to preach the gospel, but he was willing to do it. He says, I'm going to back up to verse 14. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And then note this in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray for each and every Christian, individually where they are, that they would understand that you are calling them in this life, not just to salvation, but to sanctification and service that brings honor and glory to you for all of eternity. Lord, I pray you'd be blessed by the reading, the hearing, and the teaching of the word today and the preaching in Jesus' name. And you're like, Brian, you're really late to get started. I know that, but I'll be done quickly. Because this is a two-part sermon. I anticipated this would happen. So to get the results out of this sermon that I really want to get, I realized I can't do it today anyway because I'm going to actually task you. I'm going to task you. How many of you are men in the room? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Don't be a wimp. Raise it high. I'm a man. You're a man. There you go. All right. You're a man. Do we have transgendered people here? What's the deal? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so if you're a man especially, next week I'm going to challenge you to develop a vision. I'm not just going to challenge you. I'm going to give you some pointers on how to do it next week. I'm not got time to do it today. So this is a part one of two sermon series right now. And we're going to come back. I'm not just going to tell you need a vision. I'm going to show you how to get one because there are some things you can do. But in the meantime, just hear me out for just a few more seconds and we'll be done. Because it's so important for you as well, you ladies, to do that as well. I started with the men because perhaps you're married to someone. And if you're married, it's important that he is the leader of your home. And that he has a vision. and that you know how to support that. That doesn't mean you can't help him, or he won't need your help for sure, right? You need each other's help. But it does start with men being men, doesn't it? Biblical men. And that's what a church, that's not what just this church must have. That's what all churches must have. Because we need biblical fathers. We need biblical women. We need biblical men. And we need biblical children. We need people who are willing to follow the Lord and be salt and light in this world. And so I'm excited about all that God's going to be doing in the future. I'll be talking about some of that next week. I'm going to skip some of that and just tell you this. You know, when we started the church, there was a verse I always used at the end of every prayer letter that God's brought me back around to. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So what that means is, if you've been, God, when he calls you to salvation, what do you got to do to be saved? You just believe. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. He did it. Right? So he had the supply for your salvation when you believe. Now, he doesn't just call you to salvation. He calls you to sanctification. Some of y'all are in bondage. That's why we have life issues, ministry, and some other things. But in reality, you really need to go deeper in your consecration. Now, we all have flesh and we struggle. I like food more than I ought and stuff. So there's things that God calls us to just say, you know what? Hey, could you go a little deeper in your faith? Could I trust the Lord to push away from sugar? Right? Or whatever it may be in your life that you know that's really unhealthy for your soul. And go a little deeper in your relationship with the Lord. Why? What's the payoff? What's the benny for that? Because he wants to use you in service. Because if we don't respond biblically and we don't respond wholeheartedly to the Lord, there could be people that are caught in bondage of sin and die and spend eternity in hell and remain in captivity. The passage that is quoted here, the Apostle Paul quotes in verse 17, actually from Habakkuk chapter 2, where he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Specifically, that passage in Habakkuk is dealing with end times prophecy. And if you're going to be justified, you're going to be justified by faith. And if you're going to have biblical vision, it's going to come from the Word of God. Habakkuk 2:2 is a famous passage we all like to quote. Write the vision down, make it plain so he can run that readeth it. That's an important passage. I'll speak to that a little bit more next week. But I just want you to understand that when you think about faith, God schooled me on this a little bit just studying this. I think, oh, that's all over the Bible. Do you know it's not? You know, it's mentioned 247 times. And 254 of those times are in the New Testament. No, 255 of those times are in the New Testament, the word faith. Only twice is it mentioned in the Old Testament. And the first one is Deuteronomy 32:20, where he says, I said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. It's in a negative context, first mentioned in the Old Testament. Dealing with the children of Israel, rebelling against Moses. And then Moses, getting frustrated, you know what Moses did? Instead of speaking to the rock, as he was told, he ended up smiting the rock. And not only did Israel lose their inheritance, but guess who else did? Moses lost his opportunity to go in the promised land for a season. And guys, we cannot allow that to happen in our lives, can we? What happened is people lose faith. They quit believing that God's word is true. They quit believing that God's way is true, and they check out on God's program. And I would call everybody everywhere to repent if that's where your heart is. Because you can fake it till you make it, but it ain't going to make it. You've really got to be all in on what God says. You've got to really believe that he is, and he's a rewarder then that diligently seek him. And you rise up early, and he'll find you. So there's only faith. Faith is mentioned 255 times in the New Testament, twice in the Old Testament. But you know what's really awesome? The word faithfulness exclusively is mentioned only in the Old Testament. And you know who it's attributed to? That's right, to God. God. He's the faithful one. And he's calling us this year into faithfulness. He calls us to go ahead by faith and plow the field. That's what he wants us to do, is put our hand on the plow and get to work. But it's an evil generation. And so it starts with a man. You know, Moses made a mistake. I told you about that, and he paid for it. But you know, right after him came a guy named Joshua. Joshua's name means Jesus. And you know what Joshua's, I got news for you. They had a great run going into the promised land. It was a wonderful thing. Everything was good. But you know what? They still had a struggle at the end, didn't they? Because despite all of God's blessings and despite all of the things that God did, they got stalled out and entered the time of judges. You know how they did that? By every man starting to do that which was right in his own eyes. Everyone became the king. And nobody really needed to submit to God anymore. Do you know what Joshua, as a man said, a historical man, he's not a superhero, he's not a Marvel comic, he was a real flesh and bone, blood man, just like you, just like me. And he made a commitment. In Joshua chapter 24, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Go ahead and make your choice, it's a free will. Whether the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, when you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back. You got to, and this year we're plowing the field. You got to plow in faith. You got to look forward. You don't know when the crops are going to come. Doug Cox could probably tell us that. You don't know what's going to happen. Of course, they get in the combine, right? You know, so, or the tractor. Does it have an air-conditioned cab? Praise the Lord. God's good. But really, you don't know if that crop's going to come. You don't know if the bank's going to own your property after a couple seasons. I mean, it's by faith that God will bring the increase. And you know what? That's the way God's designed it. What's amazing is this. Not that we need to have faith in God, but that God would have faith in us. That He would redeem us and count us, make us just, so that we could serve Him. What a privilege it is. What an amazing thing it is that we even struggle. That we have 20 seconds or 2 seconds or even a blip in our heart of resistance. But we do. Because we still have our Adamic nature. And that's why we have to be committed to God's word and God's will. And so I was down at Midtown and they planted a church, the one you saw with Dan Renault. They planted Living Faith at Lee Summit. And I'm listening to Sam and he's like, "We're going," Psalms 84:7. "And we're going from strength to strength," right? They're not diminishing the base. They're going from strength to strength. Well, it's kind of like that too when we planted Shiloh. And God said, "Brian, you know what? I know you don't always feel strong right now. You ever have those days? Yeah, you don't feel so strong. But the word of God just is like a fire, isn't it? And you know it's true. Even when sometimes the things that you see around you do not reflect what you know God told you." Well, so this is the thing. God led me to Romans chapter 1. He said, "Hey, Brian, remember that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24? Oh, yeah. Remember when you didn't even have a church building or a church office? Yeah, I remember that. Remember when you thought maybe you'd be lucky if you could roll together 50 people on a Sunday and work a job full time and have church? Yeah, I remember that." He says, "Right. Remember what I told you? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." I mean, he's awesome, guys. God has done, if you stop the tracks right now on what God's doing in all of our lives, it's amazing. It's over and above what you could ask or think. What God, I'm just watching Doug up here, and I mean he is a missionary, like you would read about missionary. Him and Bethany are doing things that in another age we'd be writing books about. You don't have to go to the bookstore, beloved. It's happening. And you know what? We're not even scratching the surface of what God would like to do. But he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. And we got to have vision. Because there's people that are perishing. But remember this: faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then he says after that, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Because as Doug pointed out when he started, we're in a battle. If this was all happening in a vacuum, it'd be no problem. But you know what? It's not happening in a vacuum. You know why? So that we can choose who we're going to serve. And it starts with every man, woman, and child in this room, starting with your pastor, As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Is that what you're going to do in 2018? Some of you in your heart right now might be saying, no, I ain't doing that. And I ain't coming back to this place because you're putting too much pressure. You know what? That's not me. That's the Spirit of God calling you into His perfect will. He loves you enough to call you and draw you into obedience. He wants you to obey His word because it's not in His best interest. It's in your best interest. God doesn't need us. He wants us because He loves us. So let me give you 3 points and I'll be done. Next week I'll pick this up. We got to have a biblical vision must be scriptural. Habakkuk 2:2. We'll come back around to that. Biblical vision must be personal. Romans 1:14-17. We've touched on that slightly. And then a biblical vision is important to our sanctification. And it's but that's not the second. The next point is biblical vision is important to eternity. So it's important to us scripturally, personally, and eternally. The biblical vision is going to make a difference. And perhaps this morning you come and today you just know that your life right now has no eternal impact. As a matter of fact, you might be like King Agrippa and be almost persuaded. There was a king in Acts that as Paul preached, man, the word of God penetrated his heart. And he was at a point of decision. He's like, man, I should go all in. Paul, you are so persuasive that you almost got me to go in on this Christianity thing. And Paul said, man, I wish you would be altogether in. Because I'll tell you what, there's no reservation. You got to be all in. I'm butchering the passage. It's Acts chapter. I don't have the verse in front of me. I lost it. But at any rate, King Agrippa wasn't in. He was convicted about it, but he didn't make the decision. He didn't exercise his free will when the time came. You know what I think King Agrippa probably thought? Well, I can always do that later. But you know, in Proverbs, it says, those that seek me early shall find me. You think, well, I'll wait till I'm 80. I'll wait till I'm 60. I'll wait till next year. I'll wait till later. I would recommend that you seek Him now. Today is the day of salvation. And God's blessings have led you to a point of decision today. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this time, I pray that if there's any...